And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Shan Sheridan, the Director of the Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development in Clinton County. Glad to be with you again on another great week. And hey, we are so happy that you join us each and every weekend here on the E-Factor. It means a lot to us. And as we always share with you as we begin the program, the E, which represents entrepreneurialism, engagement, entertainment, education, employment, all of the attributes of a community. That's what we talk about. What really makes a community? What powers a community? And we know that engagement is probably the number one. If you're engaged in what you do at your work, if you're engaged at what you do at home, if you're engaged in your church or community, we know that it can make a huge impact for all of us in our community. And I can't think of anyone else better to tackle some of those E's than my guest today, and I'm so glad to introduce my friend Tony Del Real. Tony, thanks for being a part of the E-Factor today.
Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be part of it.
Well, Tony, I want to open up to start with. Most people know you out here on 28 West, Del Real Auto Sales, and but you're so much more than that. I want to know a little bit more about how you ended up in Frankfort. Of course, you are a Clinton County, and you're over in the Rossville area. But let's talk a little bit about your growing up in Clinton County and how you have grown here in Clinton County.
Yeah, I guess we can go back to 1976 when I was born in Lafayette, Indiana.
Bicentennial year.
Yes, sir. And grew up in Lafayette. Both my parents were immigrants from Mexico. Worked hard. Always wanted to live in the country. And back in I think I would have probably been in fifth grade. I'm not going to tell you what year because I can't remember. But
you can do the math, folks.
We found, or my father found a piece of land in Clinton County, and he wanted to live on a farm, and that's what brought us to Clinton County. And I graduated from Rossville High School, and graduated from there. Went to college at Indiana University in Bloomington. Graduated with a finance degree, and started working.
And so were you working with your dad in
yes.
business?
I graduated in 2000, and shortly thereafter, I was in the process of kind of figuring out what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to be part of the family business or whether I wanted to seek some other opportunity. I did do an internship in Washington, D.C. That opened my eyes.
like everyone.
Yeah, it opened my eyes. So I got a view of politics, and at the same time, the business, international business, is what I was really focused on out there, working for the International Trade Division in the Ronald Reagan Building for the U.S. Commerce. And it was a very good eye-opener. I got to talk to a lot of transportation companies and international companies that are shipping product all over the world.
I want to back up a little bit and then tell me, your dad and mom buy a farm in Clinton County, but they're not farmers. They were involved in the automobile business, correct?
They were involved in the auto business since 1987. Just started as a hobby. And later, just with the relationships that my father's the true definition of an entrepreneur, and just made great solid relationships with anybody he encountered, and everyone wanted to do business with him, and they would seek him out, and he's the one that got everything in our blood to do what we do. So we're very fortunate to have that role model in my life to give me everything that I need to be successful.
Well, Father's Day is coming up. I'm going to date the show. We don't normally do that, but I'm going to date it since Father's Day is coming up this weekend, and this is a pre-recorded program, so we're recording this prior to Father's Day. Let's talk a little bit about your dad in the sense of entrepreneurialism. Here's an immigrant. He comes over from another country. All the challenges that come along with that. Mm-hmm. We know. Well, we don't know those that are natural citizens and been here, born here all of our lives. We don't necessarily know those challenges, but certainly you got to see some of those challenges firsthand, being raised with an immigrant family.
Absolutely. Just a hard worker. He had a third grade education in Mexico. Like anybody, was seeking a better opportunity. Made his way to the United States at the age of 16. Worked in restaurants, factories, actually retired from Alcoa. He did, I think, 30 years at Alcoa.
Wow.
And, you know, loved every bit of it. But, you know, he was always looking for something better. What can I do to move my family forward? And he just had that ambition and had dreams and goals and did the right things and got us in a position for us to look at the world and from a different set of glasses. We had it a little easier than him, but, you know, being an entrepreneur is taking chances. It's stepping out of your comfort zone at times and living through the mistakes that you make and try not to duplicate those and learn from them. I think there's not an entrepreneur that knows what he's doing off the bat. I think he learns along the way. And before this show, I kind of Googled entrepreneurship because sometimes I think we forget what it is and we just live it and we breathe it and it's what we do. It's learning and having mentors in your life, seeking out the information that you do not know, not being afraid to ask questions. And more than anything, it's learning from mistakes and minimizing your mistakes when you duplicate what you've whatever challenges you've taken on.
I heard some, maybe it was a quote the other day on the radio, or maybe I read it, I'm not even too sure, but I thought it really resonated with what you're saying here today, is that failure is the first rung on the ladder of success. That if you don't fail, if you don't have some setbacks and some challenges, you're really not going to build that tough enough skin for you to go to the next level. And successful people understand that and get that and recognize that, just like your dad has. As we continue to talk a little bit, maybe kind of theme this week, Father's Day weekend, what are some of those two or three principles that you learned from your dad? I mean, you know, we know he's not a quitter. We know that he's worked very hard. He is the example of an entrepreneurial spirit. But what are some other things that you've learned from your dad that you want to pass along to your own children?
Hard work. Nothing comes easy. Nothing comes free. You have to work for what you got or what you get or where you want to be. Relationships. It's always about building bridges and not building walls. I think it's important to always leave the door open. In my business, I practice it and I always tell my customers, I always strive to make everyone happy. If there's ever a problem, I always tell them that my door is open. I'm not one to duck at a grocery store or at a shopping center. I hold my head up high wherever I go because I live by those principles of hard work, building relationships. And I would say the third is, you know, family. It's important. My father worked hard all week and he really took the weekend to spend with us, to show us, you know, that you have to have time for family. And I know he probably has a lot of regrets. He probably didn't make it to all my ball games in high school. I know that, you know, the grandkids are all about, he's all about the grandkids now and likes going to their.
That happens a lot.
I don't have any resentment because I know how hard it is to sustain a family and stay on top and work hard. And my family, I think, gets it. They know that if I'm not there, I do try to go to most of their basketball and baseball games, but sometimes, you know, we can't. And I think that they get it. They understand. So, you know, I think those are three really important values that I picked up from my father. A lot of that I understand a lot better now that, I'm grown up and I have children of my own and you always got to have room for that family time to bring it all together and make life worth what it is.
Well, you bring up a good point with relationship, and that relationship is not necessarily even with your colleagues, but that relationship that you build with your own family. Mm-hmm. I share this quite a bit that, all those colleagues that you have and the contact list that you have probably are not going to be at the hospital room on your days that you're struggling or maybe on your last day of your life. Those are not going to be the folks that are going to be surrounding you at your hospital room. It's going to probably be your children, your grandchildren, and those folks, your spouse, those folks folks that are around that that you have built into their lives. And I think that's an important takeaway from Father's Day and really every day of life.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, it's that value and the quality of life that you provide and that you want to see for your family in the place that they're brought up and just give them everything that you can to make them successful and
including some of the hard knocks, including some of the challenges, yeah. And including some of the, you know, don't make excuses. Let's execute. And something that my dad used to tell me all the time when I would be on the football field, don't make excuses. I just want you to execute, or the baseball field. You know, Tony, talking about entrepreneurialism, I want to get back to your story. I mean, your dad and mom, what a tremendous story it is, immigrants coming. But, you know, they raised you and then you had the opportunity of going to Washington, learning what kind of led you back to the family, the automobile business. We know your dad, it became a hobby. You said it started as a hobby because he was 30 years at Alcoa, but this was kind of a hobby job to kind of maybe sell vehicles and be a part of the automobile business. How did that ended up turning into a career for you?
Well, I graduated in 2000, and like I said, that summer I was kind of taking off and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I did a few interviews with actually Toyota in Southern Indiana and a couple banks. And in the meantime, I was working at the family business, and we were in an expansion mode. My older brother went to Purdue, and he actually, I think it was his second year, took off because the family business was taken off. And, so my brother kind of helped my father. And through those, you know, 3 or 4 years while I was at school. And when I got back, I just thought, well, let's see what's here. There's, you know, there's a lot of movement in cars. And I thought, you know, we're going through an expansion. My father had bought some property. And he's a true visionary in this sense, because he had bought the property on State Road 38. And there was absolutely nothing out there. We're like, Dad, what are you doing? This is crazy. And, you know, if you look at State Road 38
now. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
It's a very heavy population, probably one of the most busiest intersections is Creasy and 38. So, you know, he's been a visionary at every point of expansion. We've got another lot over on Underwood and 52. And it's just one of those things where he kind of saw where the city was growing and thought, well, you know, it's not there now, but it will get there. And, you know, as soon as we got to 38, our exposure grew just because we were on a heavier, more populated road. And we started getting a lot of interest from finance companies and banks and that wanted to do business with us. And, you know, it's just one of those things, word of mouth, you know, the quality of service and care that we gave our customers. They would seek us out. And, you know, we went from selling 30 cars to 72 and 80 cars a month just in that transitional period. And I thought, you know, it just got into my blood. I loved being around people. I met new people day in, day out. I would break it up by going to the auction 2-3 times a week. And it was fun. It wasn't work. I was enjoying the time I was, you know, being out on the auction floor or meeting customers as they came in, and we were able to help them out with their auto needs.
Okay, so you're helping your dad out. You're over there in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. You're working all of the deals there. You're going to the auction. You're part of the family business. And then what happens to move you to Clinton County? Or you're already living in Clinton County by this time, but what causes you to decide to set up shop and make a business here? In Frankfort, because you're in Frankfort. State Road 28 West, folks, by the way. What's the address?
1002 Walnut Avenue.
Yeah, 1001 Walnut Avenue.
No.
1002 Walnut Avenue. Yeah. That's West Walnut. West Walnut. Maybe if I look at your card. 1002, that's Walnut Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is State Road 28
West. State Road 28,
is the
yes.
same thing as Walnut mm-hmm. Avenue. If you're coming to Frankfort and you want to meet Tony and see Del Real Automotive Group, they're right here on State Road 28 West, which is also Walnut Avenue. But so, okay, how did you get here? What was it that brought you to Frankfort?
Well, I operated and managed the car lot on 38 from 2000 to 2010. In 2010, we decided, or I don't quite recall how it all happened, but we went to St. Mary's Church here in Frankfurt for Mass, and like any dealer that does his due diligence and figures
I'm
checking out the block. You know, I see a lot of these guys in the lanes, so I was just kind of checking out the inventory and checking out Frankfurt. You know, I'd been, but I'd never really focused or even had any inkling of moving to Frankfurt because I was so involved in Lafayette Chamber of Commerce and a lot of. I like to be
Ivy Tech. You've been involved with Ivy Tech.
I was involved with Ivy Tech. I had a bunch of involvement in Lafayette, and I just wasn't even a plan. But as we were checking out Sunday driving, and my wife and the kids are going, are we really doing this again? Pulled into the old DeFord building that had been vacant, and I saw the posting on there on that it was going up for auction, I think the following Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember. But I happened to be a member of the chamber at that point in time, and the president of the bank that had the offering was our president for the chamber. So I got to talking to him, and just through that whole process, we ended up buying the property. At that point in time, it was more of an investment type purchase, to where we had a body shop that wanted to rent some space over here. So, you know, we tried that. We said, okay, we rent them part of the building. And then we decided, well, that's a big building. Why don't we throw some cars out there and see if we can make a go of it? And that's how we got here. And, we started off with, 30, 40 cars maybe. And, now our inventory is up in the 100 to 120.
Wow.
Frankfurt is a great community. One of the taglines that our good mayor, and how fortunate we are to have this Chris McMarns as our mayor here in Frankfurt. One of the taglines he started early when I remember is that Frankfurt was open for business, and that always sat with me. And I said, okay, well, let's see what we got here. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're here. We're thriving. The people are amazing. In Frankfurt, we really have grown our Clinton County business, not only here in Frankfurt, but also Lafayette, because we don't have what they're looking for here, they travel to Lafayette. So,
yeah, you really have a great opportunity to connect both communities because of the automobile, because of the customer that's looking for that mm-hmm. just right automobile or just the one that fits them perfectly. But go back to those early days, because I remember those days when it was the body shop, and you were talking about just having a kind of a body shop here, mm-hmm. and then a few cars, and then you saw the need for a good, solid, used, pre-owned automobile dealer here. And then things exploded beyond that, because then you decided to invest more money in this property. Mm-hmm. And then you created the auto rental business with Auto Rental Plus.
Correct. Yeah. So we're here, and obviously we're kind of listening to what people need. We're trying to add value not only to our customer base but to our community. I had a lot of relationships with body shops, and one of the things that I heard early on was like someone, and I can't remember who it was, but someone said something about rental cars. They said, they'll pick you up, but they don't. Mm-hmm. And I had always thought, I was like, when I came in, I said, I can't believe Frankfurt doesn't have a rental company. So, I picked up on that, and I went around and I did talk to some of the body shops and called some of the insurance companies and said, hey, this is kind of an idea. I went to Maryland and listened to a franchise company that was, interested in me opening up a franchise for them. And then, I took it all in and let it soak in for a year, went to Las Vegas to a convention. And at the end of the day, I kind of figured out, I looked at my wife and I said, I think I can do this without a franchise company. I think we can grow this market and we can serve the people of Frankfort. And here we are. I think we're up to 28, 30 cars in our fleet. What we thought was only going to be to serve the insurance companies ended up being a lot of recreational, a lot of weekend trips, churches, you name it. There's, you know, the good people of Frankfort are looking for transportation, for vacation, for a retreat, you name it, we've got it. And we've been able to serve the market.
Well, you certainly have, and you've served them from the tiniest of sports cars to the ultimate 12, 15 passenger minivan, or I should say full size van, when it comes to people haulers and getting folks down to Florida or wherever they go on their spring break. Really, a big part of your business has been spring break and summer vacation.
Spring break, vans. Summer vacation, fall break, Thanksgiving, you name it. There's people looking for something to move family.
That's an amazing number, 28 or 30 rental cars right now. Because when we were first talking about all this, I remember, hey, you'd be happy if you could get, you know, 5 to 10.
I started with 10, and we escalated to 14, and we're at 28.
So. Wow. And you keep them busy.
Yes, we do. We do. There's a need here, and we're glad that we're able to add value to our community by being able to offer them the service.
So the service is it is full service. Let me tell you what full service means. I was coming back with my van that I had rented from you, Tony, a few years ago, coming back from Florida, and we had our family, part of our family, we kind of went down in two vehicles. Part of our family was in the van. Part of our other family was in a Suburban that was my daughter's and son-in-law. And our alternator belt broke brakes right when we get past the Louisville Bridge. And so we were just down in the southern Indiana area. Our alternator belt breaks. It's probably 9:30, 10 o'clock at night when we finally get over to an exit. I call Tony, and I get his voicemail, and then he calls me right back and said, hey, what's going on? And then share with him. And I will have to tell you, folks, not only did Tony take care of us, but he himself drove down with a flatbed, picked up the vehicle, brought us back a vehicle down there. And this was all like in the middle of the night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, actually. About 5 o'clock by the time, 5:30 by the time my wife and I rolled back back home. But it was pretty incredible. And again, greatly appreciate Tony. Greatly appreciate Tony doing that. And you told me that night, you said, well, we're all about full service. And I remember saying, this must be the plus of auto rental plus. But you do a great job, and we appreciate what you do here. So let's go beyond that. So you do the car lot, you do the auto rental plus, then you start talking about even new car dealership and opportunity. But then there's another opportunity because you're involved in real estate investment as well. You had the opportunity to partner with a good friend of yours, and you opened up the first Jimmy John's of Frankfort, Indiana.
Correct. So, you know, one of my biggest aggravations was, you know, come lunchtime,
No food. On this side.
I'm on the west end, and we need food on the west side. So, you know, there again, you know, what can we do to bring value to this community? And, you know, I talked to a lot of people, and they said, everyone's like, we need food on the west end. Well, the opportunity presented itself. So one day, a college friend from IU stopped in, and we were just chit-chatting, and I gave him the information of a friend of mine that's got three stores in the Indianapolis area, and I said, I think we need this. I think right now Frankfort is in a growth mode, and I think we need to serve the people, and what better way than to bring them some fresh, quick food sandwiches that will feed
Freaky
the industrial
fresh.
Park.
Freaky fast.
It'll service the West End and help that industrial park get in and out, get their food, and you know, to me, add value.
Wow, and add value you did, because not only did you build the Jimmy John's, you built a, I believe, 7,500 square foot facility just on the west side of Frankfurt, just on the west side of the Ability Services building, out near our industrial park. And you still have space available also, that you would love to have some another restaurant or someone else in there as well. But and you're working on that, and believe me, you've had some great opportunity there. But the Jimmy John's has been quite the smash hit, I believe, in the industrial park.
It's been doing great. You know, I talk to my business partner probably once or twice a week, and you know, their numbers are growing, and as people find out that there is some food on the West End, they're supporting it. So we appreciate everyone driving by, picking up a sandwich and getting to know Joe. Joe's one of the best, most energetic managers and owners you'll ever meet. So get in there and get to see him.
Yes. When you go in, ask for Joe, talk to Joe, and he would love to talk to you. He's a very personable guy, and he has done a great job managing the Jimmy John's. And so, and I will tell you, we have ordered from the chamber. We have ordered, and I have been able to clock him now under 8 minutes now, just under 8 minutes coming from Jimmy John's from the time we place the order to the time the food is on my desk, just under 8 minutes. That's freaky fast, and it's great food. So
he's great.
You can't beat it. Okay, so you started the body shop. It went to a used car dealership, a pre-owned dealership. Then you went to Auto Rental Plus. Now you've invested in Jimmy John's, and you've created this extra space that we hope to see some other things happening. What's next for Tony Del Rio? What's next for Del? What's next? What's going on, Mr. Entrepreneur? What's next?
We're just, you know, wanting to Frankfort, Indiana. You know, we want to sell more cars. We want to rent more cars. We want to get more business on the West End. We have 6,000 square feet available. We redone a building downtown.
Yeah, you got a building downtown as well. Where Heather's Flowers.
Heather's Flowers. We're redoing that facade. You know, I think the most important thing here is that, you know, I take it as a personal challenge to build the community you want to live in. And I think we all have to take some accountability and action. I think we are what Frankfort can be and will be. We just got to keep plugging away. We got to get more industry. We got to get, you know, the schools involved. We got to get, you know, it's going to take an army to build the quality of life that I want for this community. And we need everybody at the table and ready to work.
Absolutely. And when you think about what's happened in Frankfort, when you got ConAgra investing here, $120 million investment, Indiana Packers coming to town. We've had some some great expansion. Wilson Trailers out at 65. We got Performance Ag now. Some great expansion opportunities that have taken place in our industrial park. Not to mention Whiskey Rose, the little women's boutique, and others, little businesses are popping up. KJ Ice Cream Shop. Some of these great businesses that are popping up, and they're being attracted to Clinton County, and in particularly Frankfort. And then you think about the $30 million we spent, or less than $30 million actually, on our school in the referendum, and Frankfort High School finally has air conditioning, right. But much more than that. Now we're talking about a $30 million wastewater facility. You are entrepreneurial. You realize you have to spend money to attract money. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to be willing to take risk, and you know there's no reward if you don't take risk. And I think, I know that the people of Frankfort, Indiana, are supporting local businesses. I'm just going to throw a plug in there for two of my tenants on the square, Eye Doctor and the photographer, that are right behind Heather Flowers. And Heather herself does a wonderful job. Yeah. She's expanding. She's doing great things for this community. Support our local businesses.
Absolutely.
Our iPhone doctor repair shop does a wonderful job fixing cracked screens, phones, tablets, you name it. Those are Lafayette businesses, and the photographer is out of was originally from the Delphi area, does wonderful work. Give them an opportunity to earn your business. those are the people that will reinvest and, you know, grow this community and keep the services that this community needs.
Absolutely. Tony Del Real, thank you so much for being here on the E-Factor today. You are certainly the poster child for entrepreneurialism here in Frankfort, Indiana, and we couldn't be more proud of you.
Thank you, Shan.
All right. Thank you. Tony Del Real. Hey, don't forget, E-Factor's on each and every week. We appreciate our fine folks that help us make that happen. WILO and Shine 99, Radio Mom, all those folks that carry our program. Thank you so much for being a part of E-Factor today. And don't forget, you may be the hope in someone's life. You may be the engagement or the encouragement, the empowerment in someone's life. You may be the E in someone's life. Go out and make it a great weekend, and certainly hug your dad this weekend if you have the opportunity to do so. All right, have a great one. We'll talk to you next time.
You're home for classic hits. WO Frankfort, broadcasting worldwide at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.